to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote. And here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, April 16, 2020. Residents of the contested Abyei area mourn Edward Lino Abyei.
We have lost a great person. A person with an experience. A person like an uncle who struggled for issues in Abyei.
And some parents cut off from their children due to travel restrictions say they are worried about the well-being of their loved ones.
There is no way out. I'm going to go back because my ticket is being cancelled. So now I've been locked down here in Juba.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Residents of the disputed Abyei region are mourning the death of Edward Lino Abyei, a leader from the area who died yesterday in India after a long illness. His death comes days after four people were killed by suspected Masiria Arab nomads in Abyei. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
Con Munuit, a deputy head of Abyei administrative area, describes the late Edward Lino Abyei as an icon and freedom fighter who fought tirelessly for the liberty of the people of South Sudan when it was still part of Sudan and for the people of Abyei specifically.
We have lost a great person. A person with an experience. A person like an uncle who struggled for issues in Abyei. We will still continue to struggle and we will never forget his words and his advice. We shall take them very seriously.
Monyit noted that books Lino author on national issues and the struggles of Abyei in particular. Abyei residents are condemning Monday's attack on Mabud village in which suspected Arab mysterious nomad are accused of killing four people dead and kidnapping a child. Munuit called on the South Sudan government to intervene and protect the Ngok Dinka, saying the United Nations Interim Security Force for Abyei or UNESFA has failed to do so. Munuit urged the government and UNESFA to investigate a string of recent deadly attacks in and around Abyei and to bring the perpetrators to justice.
When a massacre is committed, we thought there is going to be an immediate investigation so that the culprits are held responsible. And also the government must draw UNESFA's attention or remind UNESFA of their obligation so that they can provide enough protection to the people of Abyei. If such don't happen, then the suspected Arabs Masiria will continue to commit such incidents again.
Munuit urged the governments of Sudan and South Sudan, who are in a dispute over who controls Abyei, to work together to boost the security in the area. He says the people of Abyei have suffered for too long at the hands of armed groups, including Masiria Arab Nomad. Abyei resident Kele Kon calls Monday attack a barbaric killing of innocent civilians. Kon says the South Sudan government must stop the killing in Abyei and recover stolen property taken by Masiria Nomad.
We are condemning it because these militia groups were just attacking innocent civilians in the areas. I don't think there is any reason for them to kill innocent civilians of Abyei administrative area.
In January, a similar attack left 32 people dead and 24 others wounded. Following that attack, the UN Security Council demanded an immediate investigation. The council also called on the African Union and the UN envoy for the Horn of Africa to strengthen their mediation roles with Sudan and South Sudan to institute temporary administrative and security arrangements for Abyei. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Some South Sudanese parents separated from their children by travel restrictions enforced due to the coronavirus pandemic say they miss their children. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
The South Sudan government suspended international flights in and out of the country a month ago. As a result, some South Sudanese from the diaspora who were visiting now find themselves stuck in the country with no idea when they will be able to leave and see their families. 30-year-old Anaya Kolalith is a singer who returned to Juba from United States in February. Alith was preparing to stage her first concert at home after spending 13 years abroad, but the show was cancelled, as were all social events and gatherings to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Alith says she misses her four children.
There is no way out. I'm going to go back because my ticket has been cancelled. So now I've been locked down here in Juba, and right now I can't go back home to my kids because I left my kids over there. I can't go back to them. I was very happy to do my first show here in South Sudan for the first time and to meet all my friends.
Over the past month, the U.S. Embassy in Juba, with permission from the South Sudan government, facilitated several rounds of commercial flights to help U.S. citizens and other foreign nationals leave the country. Akol says she did not try to get a seat on one of those flights because her concert was still on.
If I know this is going to happen, I'm supposed to be going back. But I went back to the embassy 2 days ago, and they say that they are not sure, but they willing if they could, maybe they're going to send any flights anytime soon this month.
Akol is sharing a room in Juba with another 30-year-old mother, Ajaka Korn, who came from Australia to visit her South Sudanese relatives shortly before the government suspended flights at Juba International Airport. Akon says she longs to see her five children again.
As in, for now, we're just waiting to see what's going to happen. Hopefully there will be some, you know, flights for us soon. This is my very first time to leave my kids. I am missing them uncontrollably. And I just want to go back home, you know, go back to my normal life, hopefully, my job and everything.
Akon planned to return to Australia on March 25th, but now has no idea when she will be able to go back and worries she may soon run out of money if the lockdown continues much longer. Other South Sudanese working for NGOs whose families live in neighboring Uganda and Kenya say they too worry about not being able to care for their children. Aliar James Jock's family lives in Kampala, Uganda, but was unable to spend Easter with his children.
This time is actually a difficult time to some of us, and the corona outbreak came in when you are away from your family. And it has become a little bit serious and painful, especially for those of us who love their families. We find ourselves that it's an important time to be with your family.
Some children whose fathers were stranded at the border due to protective measures use Messenger and other social media platforms to talk to their parents, including 5-year-old Achol Manyang.
Hello, Dad. How are you? I'm going to sing my song, Read Your Bible. And then, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow, if you want to grow. Bye-bye, Daddy. I miss you so much. I love you.
Children whose parents are here in South Sudan from Uganda will not be able to see their parents anytime soon. On Tuesday, Uganda extended its lockdown for another 3 weeks. For VOA News, I am Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Activists monitoring the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement say the delay in forming state and county governments could affect the fight against the coronavirus. Raja Mohandis, head of the non-profit Organization for Responsive Governance, says the state governments could provide leadership and mobilize people to fight the spread of the pandemic. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
In a recent report assessing the first 30 days of operation of the partial transitional government, the voluntary task force says the delay in forming a complete government is endangering the country's internal security, including efforts to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Rajab Mohandis, executive director at the Organization for Responsive Governance and a member of the Civil Society Task Force, says the parties should quickly move to form state governments so that preventive measures are fully put in place across the country.
The state governments are not there to provide a similar level of leadership and response and mobilization at the state levels. So that puts the response at risk at the state levels, because then it would not be adequately managed without political leadership.
The parties have only managed to establish the presidency and the national cabinet. The National Legislative Assembly has yet to be reconstituted after President Salva Kiir agreed to pare down the number of states from 32 to the original 10 plus 3 administrative areas. Mohandis says the lack of state governments also increases the chance of insecurity, including intercommunal violence. Mohandis says it's time the parties move on and form state governments to provide leadership in response to COVID-19.
We actually demand that we want to see the South Sudanese leaders taking these decisions by themselves. We cannot run a country by mediators when the leaders are there as the leaders of this country.
Mohandis says the reluctance by the parties to implement all provisions of the peace deal worries South Sudanese.
Now, given the fact that the 30 days elapsed without all activities that were actually earmarked for this period accomplished, it's an indication that we might also fall into the same trap of delays and postponements of important periods.
Mohandis says national leaders should allocate more resources to the states to prevent the spread of the pandemic so that states can improve protection at border entry points with neighboring countries. Agustino Teng Mayai, a policy analyst at the Juba-based Soot Institute, agrees with the Voluntary Civil Society Task Force report, saying the parties must put aside politics and quickly form the entire transitional government, especially during this pandemic.
I think with every emergency, you need a system in place, whether be it coronavirus response, or be it the current communal violence in the areas. The formation of the government and having it fully operating is going to be key in responding to those incidents.
The task force says South Sudanese want to see a successful transitional government that delivers lasting peace and opportunities for development regardless of the current challenges facing national leaders. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese authorities ban religious gathering to protect worshippers from the spread of the coronavirus. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain, just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from church, the father was like, for those who seek, always find, and so fight endlessly for what you want for the future.
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The Sudanese transitional government has suspended religious gatherings in Khartoum for 3 weeks as part of protective measures against the spread of COVID-19 pandemic. Sudan's Minister for Religious Affairs ordered religious leaders to suspend Friday Muslim prayers and Sunday services across the capital. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum with reaction from Muslims and Christians.
Nasruddin Mufarrah, Sudan's Religious Affairs Minister, says for the next 21 days, there shall be no prayer services in mosques or churches. Speaking in Arabic to the media last night, Mufarrah directed all Sudanese church leaders and clerics to adhere to the new directives.
We suspend Friday prayers and other group prayers in all mosques across Khartoum State as a precaution to protect our population and our country and prevent the spread of the coronavirus for the period of 3 weeks. Secondly, we also suspend all forms of ritual prayers and masses in all churches in Khartoum for the next 3 weeks.
The government announced earlier this week it will enforce a total lockdown in the capital Khartoum starting on Saturday for the next 3 weeks. Mufarrah says the decision is not aimed at restricting religious beliefs but to save humanity. Mufarrah is calling on all Muslims and Christians in Khartoum to pray at home in state.
We should avoid any form of social gathering, particularly elderly people and those with underlying diseases. As we stay at home, we should also follow all protective measures that is directed by the Minister of Health.
Rifat Samir, who heads the Presbyterian Church in Khartoum, welcomes the decision, saying it will save many lives. Samir says they have already communicated directives to the church congregation to stay home, but to keep on praying with their loved ones daily.
We have groups on WhatsApp and Facebook of youth, and they are we make every day a prayer together and make small testimonies and these things. And we are thinking of the home churches for the family together. If the health situation is allowed, later we can ask the people, the families which near each other, to meet in one house and this thing.
Dirar Mahdi is a devout Muslim man living in Khartoum's Omdurman neighborhood. Also welcomes the decision, saying it will minimize the spread of the virus among people.
If you didn't follow, maybe another problem is come for me as a Muslim or for the other. So this is depend on the general situation, you know. Once there is a problem that it happened for the Muslim, to prevent this problem, I think we have to accept that.
During the lockdown to begin this Saturday, essential entities including hospitals and pharmacies shall remain open throughout, while shopping centers within the neighborhoods shall be open for only 6 hours a day, according to the health ministry. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The World Health Organization says it is working with its partners to fill the financial gap left from the Trump administration's decision to withhold $400 million so that efforts to stop the corona pandemic can continue without interruption. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to stop funding the World Health Organization comes just as the U.N. Health Agency says more than 2 million people globally are infected with the deadly coronavirus. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says he regrets Washington's decision, noting the U.S. has been a long-standing and generous friend to the WHO and hopes it will continue to be so. He says with support from the people and government of the United States, the WHO works to improve the health of many of the world's poorest and most vulnerable people.
WHO is not only fighting COVID-19. We're also working to address polio, measles, malaria, Ebola, HIV, tuberculosis, malnutrition, cancer, diabetes, mental health, and many other diseases and conditions.
Tedros says WHO is committed to providing health for all, regardless of race, religion, or political belief. Just as the organization does not discriminate among the peoples of the world, he says COVID-19 does not discriminate between rich and poor nations. It does not discriminate among nationalities, ethnicities, or ideologies.
This is a time for all of us to be united in our common struggle against a common threat, a dangerous enemy. When we're divided, the virus exploits the cracks between us. We're committed to serving the world's people and to accountability for the resources with which we're entrusted.
Trump accuses the organization of severely mismanaging its coronavirus response, of making deadly mistakes, and of being too trusting of China. The White House says funding will be halted while WHO's alleged cover-ups and failures are investigated, a process that could take 2 to 3 months. Tedros says WHO's performance in tackling the pandemic will be reviewed in due course by member states and independent bodies to ensure transparency and accountability. He says areas for improvement no doubt will be identified. He notes there will be lessons for everyone to learn. But for now, he says, the focus must be on stopping the virus and saving lives. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Kenya's Ministry of Health will start mass testing of the population to contain the spread of the coronavirus. The first phase of the testing will prioritize. The first phase of the testing will target areas such as the slums of Nairobi and other high-risk areas such as hospitals and other quarantine centers. Rahel Ombo reports for VOA from Nairobi.
29-year-old Lillian Chow contracted a mild cough less than 2 weeks after doctors confirmed Kenya's first COVID-19 case in Nairobi. She thought the cough would go away after a couple of days, but it persisted. It is only after Chow's close colleague died from the coronavirus that Chow suspected her cough might be something worse. She says, it was reported that one of our colleagues who died had COVID-19 and we had been in contact with her, together with a friend of mine, who we were experiencing the same symptoms. Doctors took us into quarantine. When my symptoms went down, I went back to work. We both did. The symptoms got stronger and we were taken for testing. The results came back positive. Both Chow and her friend are now among dozens held in an isolation unit at Coast General Hospital in the city of Mombasa. Because of cases like those, Kenya's Ministry of Health announced Tuesday that it would start mass testing of the population to contain the spread of the virus. In Nairobi, Minister of Health Mutahi Kagwe said high-risk clusters would be given priority, including slum areas, hotels, hospitals, quarantine centers, and isolation facilities.
But who to test? You have got to move in a very targeted manner in order for that testing to be effective. For example, if you know that an institution has had one or two individuals who have tested positive, it makes sense to say, let's first of all round up this institution and test all those workers who have been working with that person.
The government said it had deployed 12,000 testing kits to areas that it had identified as high risk. Kenya's number of coronavirus cases has steadily risen over the past month. The virus has been found in at least 21 of 47 counties since the first case was reported on March 13th. In previous weeks, the World Health Organization warned that African countries were not getting accurate figures on the extent of coronavirus cases due to a lack of robust testing. Kenya's Ministry of Health has been testing an average of 400 samples per day, but on Tuesday, the country tested more than 800 samples in 24 hours, the highest figure so far. Kenya has confirmed 225 cases of the virus and recorded 10 deaths. Rael Ombur for VOA News, Nairobi.
Residents of the disputed region of Abia are mourning the death of Edward Lino Abia, a leader from the area who died yesterday in India after a long illness. His death comes days after four people were killed by suspected Miseria nomads in Abia. Kwan Manyath, deputy head of Abia Administrative Area, describes the late Abia as an icon and freedom fighter who fought tirelessly for the liberty of the people of South Sudan when it was still part of Sudan, and for the people of Abia in particular. South Sudanese parents who became separated from their children after the travel ban went into effect due to the COVID-19 pandemic say they miss their children. International flights were suspended a month ago. Anye Akol Alith, who returned to Juba from the U.S. in February to stage a concert, was preparing to stage that concert when it got canceled due to the government ban on all large social gatherings. She says she wonders when she'll be able to see her four children again in the United States. And finally, a voluntary civil society task force on implementing the peace deal says the transitional government's delay in forming state and county governments makes it harder for South Sudan to control the spread of the coronavirus. The task force says in a new report on the government's first 30 days that the delay in forming state governments is endangering the country's internal security, including efforts to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Nani Ongere by Colonel Mido.
Nani Ongere. Monyo mijinga yara egonanie anebuni aurwe anebuni aurwe monyo mijinga yara egonanie monyo mijinga yara egonanie anebuni aurwe anebuni aurwe nani olotir nani olongere mama nani olotir nani olongere mama nani olotir nani olongere nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir
ayamani balu tawroe naisu
Nani olongere
ayamani balu tawroe naisu
Nani onyohoribong
ayamani balu tawroe naisu
Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir Nani olongere
Ayamani balu tawroe naisutwe Ayamani balu tawroe naisutwe
We've been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Nani Ongere. And to our listeners in Torit, I will add VOA Ongere. I'm John Tanza, and thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. And remember to stay at home, Wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and stay safe from the coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Akana, akana, igumoti.